Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Manhattan Beach Chamber 360, on June 26th, 2020. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce. The Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce has been serving the city of Manhattan Beach for over 60 years, and they are dedicated to promoting a strong local economy by supporting the community, providing valuable business connections, and representing business with government. The Chamber staff is focused on providing its membership with the tools and resources to help businesses grow and thrive within the community. Their goal is to continually support the individual efforts of business as they work to support the growth of the local economy. For more information on how the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce is working with member businesses and the City of Manhattan Beach to support that growth, visit the website at manhattanbeachchamber.com or call 310-545-5313.
I'm your host, Joe Terry, and you can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/ The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. Joining us as co-host, the graphic artist and in residence and generally... I don't know what your official title is, but Carolina, what's your last name again?
Dorado.
Dorado. Carolina Dorado will be joining us from the Manhattan Beach Chamber. And, of course, with us because of our great partnership with South Bay by Jackie.com and executive producer of the South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie. Carolina, thank you for joining us today. How are you?
Good morning,
Hi,
Joe. Good morning,
great.
Joe. Good morning, Carolina. Thanks for joining us today, Carolina. Kelly, as we all know, has been working like mad the last 4 months. I don't think the woman ever sleeps, so she's taking a couple of much-needed days off, which is very nice. Good for her. Good for her. I think we should all do that at some point. So you're filling in. You're stepping into Kelly's Jimmy Choo's today.
Yes, I am. I've been telling her to, she needs to rest. And I worry because I'm always telling her, make sure you rest. And I don't know if she will because I know she takes her laptop with her everywhere. And she's always working. So I always tell her to, help is very important. But I do hope that she takes these couple of days to rest and fully regenerate.
Right.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And
Joe,
and
how are
Carolina,
you doing? Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Forget it. No, go ahead.
Well, how am I doing? You care about how I'm
doing?
How
you doing? I was asking how you're doing.
How you doing? Okay. Well, Jackie, first of all, I have to say, my new gig, which is why I'm not doing the Thursday morning shows right now this summer, is working for CodeWizardsHQ.com. I have to give them a shout out and a plug. CodeWizardsHQ.com. It's teaching children from the age of about 8 to 18 how to code, how to write programs in Python and Scratch, which is a MIT Media Lab created language. Scratch, it's called. It's block-based programming. Then Python is a very popular professional programming language and used in many different industries, and Java and JavaScript, and of course web-based, web design and web-based programming. So it's fun. It's exciting.
I'm glad. It sounds like we've spoken, and it sounds like you are having fun. Of course. Everything you just said is just—it's Greek. It's all Greek to me. So, just saying.
It's
so,
fun.
Carolina, oh yes, go ahead. Finish, Joe.
No, well, that's it. I wanted to know what Carolina Dorado's official title at the chamber was, and then I was going to throw it to her. So go on, Jackie.
Let's start there. Carolina, what is your official title?
I am the Director of Communications for the Chamber.
Okay, that's excellent. I knew that. Joe didn't know that. I knew that.
No.
So,
we're not talking to the CEO and president. We're talking to the Director
of Communications. Yes.
Yes.
Oh, so Carolina, what news have you got for us from the chamber? What's going on?
So there's a lot happening. In fact, I know last week you had Jer Optimus as your speaker, guest speaker in last week's radio show, and they spoke about their Luna Fest at Home Virtual Film Festival, and that's actually happening tomorrow. So I just wanted to remind people that their event is this weekend and that their ticket sales end today at noon. So if they haven't purchased their tickets, they can go onto their website and purchase them. There's been also a lot of news in the community, and the Manhattan Beach Hometown Fair did share that they will be canceling their events this year due to COVID-19 concerns. But on the bright side, they have approved $10,000 for grants that will be distributed in the Manhattan Beach Community Club, boosters, and nonprofits, which I think is a great way to invest back into the community now more than ever. July 4th is coming up, and as a friendly reminder, Manhattan Beach does not allow fireworks. In fact, a lot of fireworks shows throughout South Bay have been canceled because of the pandemic, and people, you know, can still celebrate, but celebrate safely is all that we're trying to communicate. The Manhattan Beach City has also been working on some signage to remind people about the importance of wearing a mask and staying 6 feet apart, because the COVID cases in the city has increased in the last 2 weeks as of last night. They have shared that there is 105 COVID cases, and this number did spike about 20 cases. And people just need to keep in mind that this is not only for their health, but for the health of others. And if they're looking for masks or want to grow their collection, the chamber does have a list of small businesses who are selling these masks. And Kelly actually has been rocking the Serape mask from Dacha, and she also bought this really cool lavender aromatherapy mist that she applies to her mask. And I think that's brilliant, because, I mean, I love it when she sprays it around the office too, because then I get a little piece of that. And it just helps, you know, calm the office. And I think that's a really amazing new tool to add to your, you know, daily routine. And lastly,
aromatherapy Manhattan
Beach. Yes, Dacha. So check it out. Manhattan Beach has a new program called Chamber Power Hour, which will be making its debut on July 8th. We will be talking about understanding the difference between cleaning and disinfecting, along with other practices that will help address safe and clean methods in the workplace. Our guest speaker will be Josh Wilson, who is also our speaker today. And that wraps up my announcements for today.
Fantastic. All right, Joe. Well, she gave us a great segue. Shall we just jump right into it?
Yes, and I would only preface this by saying, when you talk about the times that we are in, it's clear that there's a lot of energy in the country, to say the least. There's all the different things that are going on regarding policing and social, social unrest, but also social engagement. There's a good word for it. And then there is the global COVID-19 pandemic. And Jackie, have you applied hand sanitizer to your hands today?
Joe, I walk around with a bottle of hand sanitizer clipped to my belt. Between the hand sanitizer, I've got my Lysol spray, I've got my wipes. You know something? I have taken this very seriously from the very beginning, and I haven't let up.
Right.
You know, I don't. I'm still following, for the most part, that safer at home order. You know, so
yeah.
Everybody has to take it seriously. Nobody wants to get sick. You don't want to make anybody else sick. Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, you got to
right.
do what you got to do.
It's an environment in which many people, as you are taking this global pandemic issue very seriously for their own health and the health of those that they love. But, Jackie, if you own a business and you're expecting people to spend money in your business and they somehow physically have to attend or visit your business, whether that's clients or employees, you are now required to engage in a whole different set of activities and expenses and so forth to ensure that your space is disinfected and clean. And Jackie, I would love to talk to someone who's responsible for all of this disinfection, wouldn't you?
Yes. The world is a dirty place, Joe, and we have somebody we can discuss that with today.
Jackie, let's introduce our guest. Who's our guest today?
Okay, our guest this morning is Josh Wilson, president of Micron Disinfection. A Hermosa Beach resident, Josh oversees sales and business development for Micron and has been in sales and customer service for the last 20-plus years. He is a graduate of the Marshall School of Business at USC and spent the majority of his professional career working for IKEA Properties, designing and building new stores around the country. He also owns South Bay Kitchen Solutions, a Manhattan Beach-based kitchen design and cabinet sales showroom. Now, Joe, as you mentioned this morning, we'll discuss infection control in the workplace and the difference between sanitizing, cleaning, and disinfection. Now, in this age of coronavirus, it's all about keeping the workplace clean and germ-free. Welcome to the program, Josh. We're so glad you could join us this morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, we're thrilled, Josh, of course. This is quite a topic of discussion. It's obviously very timely, and there's no end in sight at this point until we get through what level three of these vaccine trials, and then the vaccines are then fully deployed. We're still talking perhaps as much as 4 months, maybe even 6 months from now. Everything has to be sanitized. We still have to control the spread of the virus. This like, Josh, I mean, compared to, you know, the last 6 months of 2019, how has your business changed?
Again, guys, thanks for having me on, and it's a great question. So our business has changed dramatically, of course. Micron Disinfection, like our poor friend Kelly, we're pretty busy folks these days, as you can imagine, and you know, viruses and pathogens in the workplace, especially in child care centers and schools, have always been a hot button issue, hospitals, things of that nature. But now, of course, given what's happening, with the COVID-19 pandemic, it's really been brought to the forefront of businesses and workplaces of all size.
Mm-hmm. Give us a little history of Micron Disinfection. I mean, how did the business begin, and what was the initial impetus? Who were your sort of like target market in the beginning? Of course, now it's like every possible business, but how did it begin, though?
Yeah.
And when was that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So our parent company, our company, Micron Disinfection, has its origins in the fleet wash business. So before we were disinfecting, again, workplaces of all sizes and shapes, we were a fleet wash company. So we have a contract and have provided services for the city of Los Angeles and for LAX Airport since 2012. So we've been a vendor over there for going on our ninth year. And as the COVID-19 pandemic emerged, we realized that the disinfection services, or to start, fleet washing services we're providing for buses, parking booths and essential workers at LAX, those exterior, you know, fleet washing services then transitioned, of course, into interior disinfection needs. So our entire program that was developed in conjunction with the City of Los Angeles and with LAX Airport to meet their, of course, incredibly high standards for disinfection and for sanitation.
Wow. That's quite a beginning. And so now we are in this sort of rolling phase where businesses are trying to open up all across the country. States are looking at various levels of opening, stage one, stage two, stage three. There's a price to pay for opening your economy. More people are going to get exposed. More people are going to get potentially infected or at least at risk. So how can you take us through the different sort of strategies? I know a large office, it's mostly social distancing. People, you know, half the people come in the morning, half come in the afternoon, things like that. My daughter's going through that with a government job in Oregon, that they're very staggered in terms of their schedule. But beyond that, how do you ensure that a workplace is safe?
Yeah, absolutely. Great question. So, of course, as always, you know, to echo Jackie's point at the beginning and kind of top of the hour here, really the best methods, you know, are to listen to our state and local officials. This thing's far from over. So, of course, just to echo what you know, Governor Newsom and everyone else are saying, social distancing and, you know, appropriate hand washing, proper hygiene, you know, wearing a mask, things like that are still crucially important. It's the summertime. Everybody wants to get out and enjoy themselves, and we at Micron are no different. But, you know, we're Hermosa residents, too, and we want to go and go to the pier and play volleyball and do all those great things. But it is really super important now more than ever. With that said, that only goes so far, to your point. And so there are a number of different methodologies or a number of different tactics that we're taking right now and different strategies that we're employing with different businesses of varying sizes to be able to disinfect the workplace. We have really three main tools in our arsenal that we use. We use a ULV fogger, and ULV stands for ultra low volume. And what does that do? What a ULV fogger does is exactly what you would think, like a fog machine at a music show or a concert. It's going to emit a large mist, right, of disinfectant, commercial grade disinfectant. That fogger is going to take care of any harmful viruses or pathogens, bacteria in the air and on surfaces as well. So when we talk about disinfecting an office space, really we talk about two different aspects. We talk about disinfecting the air and then the surfaces, countertops, you know, hard, high touch surfaces, things of that nature. So that's the ULV fogger. It's kind of cousin, which is becoming the most popular and the most widely recognized method in the industry, is the electrostatic sprayer. And this electrostatic sprayer is what you're seeing on every major airline. Last night I got an email from Hawaiian Airlines saying that, you know, Hawaii is allowing folks back into, you know, back into their islands as of August 1st, which is wonderful. So as with that, like with any airline, we received a video showing the electrostatic sprayer in action. So what an electrostatic sprayer is it's going to be distributing the same hospital-grade disinfectant that we use in a fogger, but the micron size, the particle size, is a little bit larger and is positively charged. So anything that's grounded, like an airplane, of course, which is a large tin can with wings, is an exceptionally grounded item. So when you're disinfecting anything that's grounded, that grounded item is inherently negatively charged. So what the electrostatic sprayer does is positively charges the chemical that you're distributing, so it has a wraparound effect. And the best way to describe that is if you've ever been to a kid's birthday party and rubbed a balloon on your head and then that balloon sticks to the wall, that balloon sticks to the wall because of the static electricity, right, that you've charged around it. So The electrostatic sprayer has become the gold standard for the airline industry. And, you know, when we talk about what's important to us in a local business environment of any size, really, that technology being used on an airline, a very confined space, has to, of course, be the very best. So we take that technology and then we employ that in conjunction with that ULV fogging for, again, businesses and even residences, private residences of any size.
I have to ask you, Josh, so how long does that last? When you go into a plane and you spray and fog and static and everything, how long does that only last until somebody touches it again?
That's an awesome question and something that we're really passionate about here at Micron. The CDC, the EPA, and everybody at Micron will tell you it lasts until the second that they open a door and somebody else comes into the room. It has no lingering residual protective properties. Now, there are some companies and some products that are stating that their product, let's say, offers 30, 60. We've even heard yesterday a 90-day guarantee of a residual protective property. At Micron, we simply just the research that we've done with our team and our advisory council it simply doesn't support that. That's something that can be counted on long term, and it does convey a false sense of security. So what we always tell our clients is we're providing a clean slate from what was there previously. So any viruses that are pathogens that were there previously will be eliminated. But as far as going on and lingering on, no, it doesn't really offer any continual protective properties.
I was asking that only because of that image that you gave us of the balloon, where it'll stick to the wall for a while. So I was just thinking of that. But you're right. Anybody that tells you, it's going to have the 30 days protection is a little BS, right?
Yeah, that's correct. That's correct.
Yes.
In a laboratory setting, it is conceivable, right? In a bubble, in a vacuum, if you leave a surface, leave a particular chemicals on a surface, but in the real world, you're going to be cleaning that. People are touching that surface, so as soon as they do that, that biofilm or whatever it is, is gone. So yeah, correct.
Yeah.
I can see, Josh, especially when you're talking about an airline and cleaning a plane. Of course, planes were cleaned between flights as a matter of course before the COVID-19 pandemic. And so now many things have been added, some additional processes have been added. One thing is the fogger. It's likely that the fogging will continue because it is so quick. It is so thorough and effective at essentially touching every surface in the plane. Just once through takes maybe 5 minutes to walk from the back of the plane to the front of the plane, and boom, every minute surface in the plane has been touched by a CDC-approved disinfectant. So that sounds amazing. I assume that will continue, and the airline industry will continue to do that. Did every airline have to add a fogger to their arsenal of tools, or did they already have them?
It depends on the airline. So at United Airlines, we use equipment. There are really three main electrostatic spraying companies in the U.S. that are commercially available and that are in use by airlines. Victory Innovations is one. E-Mist is another. E-Mist is our product of choice. We can chat about that in a little bit. And then there's another brand called Protexis. So these electrostatic sprayers, many of them have already been used prior to COVID. Were already in use in the airlines. But yeah, to your point, the electrostatic sprayer is a really fantastic tool. They weren't required by the airlines, but the airlines adopted them very early on because, of course, again, we talk about flying in an airplane is an enclosed space, of course, with a lot of with a lot of air that's recirculating. Now, the great thing about any commercial airliner, really, too, is all of these airliners do use HEPA-grade filtration. So when we talk about steps that airlines are taking now that they may not have before, those filters are being changed more often. But that electrostatic sprayer, each airline uses a different technology. So that we use two different types of electrostatic sprayers. The ones that we use here at Micron are what are in use by United Airlines and Southwest Airlines, respectively, because we believe, based on exhaustive research on our side, that they're the very best in class. And so that's what we're using. But Delta uses the Victory Innovation System. But yeah, to your point, those are here to stay for sure, because this thing has changed the game as far as, America's version of it has raised the bar significantly on what the country expects as far as disinfection protocol.
I got to jump in again, Joe. Josh, let me ask you something, because this is kind of grossing me out. Prior to COVID, a plane would land, all the people would get off, and then you wait around the boarding area while they clean it, right? They'd go through, they'd pick out all the trash, they'd take out the old food trays, put in the new one. But prior to COVID, they weren't disinfecting, sanitizing with foggers in between flights, were they?
Correct. No, many airlines were not. No, and they certainly are now.
But now they are, and I imagine that will probably continue for quite a while, which I'm glad to hear. But as I said, I'm a little grossed out thinking that prior to that, they didn't do that. They didn't sanitize every single surface. So I got the heebie-jeebies now. Okay. All right,
yeah.
But now they are.
They certainly are.
Good.
Carolina,
are you getting grossed out by this or no?
Yes. I was like, she's right. There's actually a lot of places that you get to think about. I'm like, they never really did this before COVID, Makes you really think now.
Yeah.
Well,
and Carolina.
Taking it a step further, a couple of months ago, I saw them on TV that they were, that for the first time, I think, in the history of the New York City transit system, they shut down the subway to disinfect the subway cars. And growing up there, I'm like, I don't remember them ever cleaning subway cars, other than, regular maintenance coming through, picking up trash and stuff. But they certainly weren't disinfecting them. Josh, what about that? I know it's kind of a big, question there, but are they going to continue to? I mean, I don't know that they're doing it every night now. I haven't heard that they're shutting down the subways down every night, but they did it once, and as you said, as soon as the doors open, it's no longer as reliable. It's so goodness, yeah. My skin is crawling at this point.
Yeah, no, it's something that most folks never thought about, right, until today, and so, or until this time, I should say, right, and not until this radio show, but until this time. So it's true, and the reality, the simple reality is, so the New York subway thing is a great example. So Governor Cuomo on April 29th went on, during his coronavirus update and said that he had challenged New York Transit and the MTA, that he wanted a comprehensive plan for every subway car being disinfected every night. And as he stated it, he wanted the essential workers of New York that rely on that public transit to know that that car was disinfected the night before. And then during that press briefing, a reporter asked, "So you're saying that we're sanitizing throughout the day, every day? How do we know that it's clean?" He said, and his response was clear, which if you've listened to any of Governor Cuomo's press briefings, he's usually very to the point. And his response was, "That's not what I said. What I said was, we want to disinfect every train. We want everyone to know that every train is disinfected every night prior to, right?" So it's the same thing we're talking about. It's not a zero-sum game, right, this disinfection thing. It's, again, when we're coming in, when any service provider is coming in, we're removing what was there. We're allowing you to start with a clean slate, right, and then of anything that may have been there previously. So, yes, New York is doing it every night. L.A. Metro, we've had some conversation with them as well, and we know that they're taking extraordinary measures here in Los Angeles to do the very same.
It's good to know. That's good to know. Joe, we need to take a station break.
Yes, indeed. This is the South Bay Show, ladies and gentlemen. We're very glad to have you. We give news and information and cover the entire South Bay every Thursday morning at 8 a.m. and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. On Thursdays, it's the South Bay Spotlight, where we cover the entire South Bay from El Segundo south to Palos Verdes and as far east as Torrance. We cover the entire South Bay. And then, of course, on Thursdays, it's open to the entire community, but on Fridays, it's Manhattan Beach Chamber 360, where we're proudly sponsored by the Manhattan Beach Chamber. And so we focus on all the same activities, the government and art and music and food, but with a special emphasis on the city of Manhattan Beach, and in particular, the members of the Manhattan Beach Chamber on Fridays. So thank you for joining us today. And if you're joining us live, wonderful, but you can also join us in podcast on your favorite smart speaker, Siri, Alexa, Google. So please join us at the gym or in the car at your leisure. Thank you for joining us. And, you know, one thing that occurs to me, Carolina, is that the chamber, the offices are comfortable and beautiful, but are you guys actually accepting people physically in the office these days, Carolina?
We are. We usually don't get a lot of people in the office lately because, of course, of COVID. But usually we've been receiving so many phone calls, and a few of them have asked if they can come in. And the best way to address it, that I've addressed it, is to help them over the phone, first of all, to see if, you know, if there's anything that I can do over the phone to address their concerns or share any resources. And if need be, then we can schedule, you know, make an appointment to ensure that, you know, when that person comes in, you know, it will just be that person. Kelly did set up a little section in the entrance with a table. It has masks, hand sanitizer, wipes, some products to clean. But I am also aware, it's been brought up to my attention, that sometimes these products need a special process to be used. And I'm pretty sure Josh can give us more information on that, because I was pretty, like, surprised that, you know, some products need to be, you know, let on. You have to put the product on the surface for about 5 minutes for it to be effective. And I'm like, what? Like, then, okay, all right, cool. I mean, we want it to be sanitized. We want it to be clean for sure, but sometimes we're on the go, you know. You want it to be clean, and you clean that, or else you forget. So, Josh, can you tell us a little bit more about, you know, the products that are commonly used in these businesses to make sure that they are sanitizing?
Yeah, absolutely. So, we refer to it in the industry as dwell time, but there is, so we talk a little bit about kind of the differences between cleaning and sanitation, and we'll get into that in a bit. So to answer your question, absolutely. So to properly disinfect a surface, that product does need to sit for a certain amount of time. Now, we use 409 is the kind of gold standard, right? Or a Clorox wipe, which 409 is made by Clorox, so it's all the same thing. So when we talk about that 409 that we all know and love, so there's a difference. So with cleaning, if you're using a product, there are products that are just cleaners, and there are products that are cleaners and disinfectant. 409 is an example of a product that is a disinfectant. So this is just basic, you know, kind of disinfecting 101, right? You're not hiring a company to come in. You're taking care of it yourself. So when you're cleaning, you're removing dirt, grime, and oil, and germ, and some germs from a surface. That's when you're cleaning, right? So just getting all the loose, you know, you're getting dust up, dirt, grime, things of that nature. When you're sanitizing, you're reducing the number of germs on a surface to be considered safe. So the best example of sanitation in a workplace is if you've ever been to a bar and you see them wash the glass, dip the glass in a tub, and then lay the glass out to dry. So they've cleaned
boy.
The glass.
Oh, boy. Oh, gosh.
I'm going to lose you, Jackie. I know. I'm going to lose you.
Oh.
I Okay. And they then they let that glass dry. So that sanitation is going to reduce the number of germs to be to a level that's considered safe by the public authorities. Obviously, any bar or restaurant that's engaging in that process is doing so, is doing so under the guidance of local authorities, right? This is something that has been approved and been accepted in the industry forever. Now, really, we introduce disinfecting into the mix. And what disinfecting is you're chemically destroying or inactivating 99.999%, we can never say 100, right? But 99.99% of germs on a surface. So when you talk about 409, most people use 409, what do? They spray it down, you wet the surface, you take a rag, you wipe it up, you're good to go. You're clean at that point, but you're not disinfected. So for 409, if you're looking to disinfect, that you need to spray it thoroughly wet, and it needs to stand. The dwell time for 409 is 10 minutes. So if you're spraying with 409, you should be spraying that, letting that sit for 10 minutes in order to properly disinfect. And that's just the same actually with most, with the commercial grade, hospital grade disinfectant we use as well. It needs to sit for 10 minutes. Some are less, but the label on your bottle will tell you exactly what and exactly how long that should sit to be effective as a disinfectant.
All right. I got two things here. Number one, I'm bringing my own glasses whenever I go out to eat ever again. That's it. I'm not. All right. That's number one. Number two, so I think actually I'm doing it correctly, Josh, because when my husband goes out to the grocery store and brings all of our stuff back, and I watched a video. Actually, I posted it to my website when I saw it because I thought it was great. It was a doctor that was showing how to disinfect when you bring things into your house. So you bring in all your groceries, and I've been following this to the letter. One part of the counter, we put all the grocery bags down. I take each item out of the grocery bag, and I wipe it down with the Clorox wipes. And then I put it on the clean side of the counter. By the time I'm done doing all of that, that stuff has been sitting on the counter probably for more than 10 minutes. So by that point, I know that is disinfected. If I just wipe it down and try to dry it, because it's wet, I have to let it dry. I'm not going to put stuff in the cabinet or the refrigerator when it's dry, right? So that. I'm doing that correctly then. I mean, I didn't know I was, but because I didn't know this.
Yeah, no, absolutely. No, you're spot on. And I can tell you that, so that's another question we get often is, do I need to disinfect my groceries? What about things that come in the house? You know, do I need to, the things that are on the bottom of your shoes and things of that nature. So the CDC maintains and that, again, the main way that COVID-19 spreads is through respiratory droplets. Okay, so that's why the 6-foot rule is important, right? So in an abundance of caution, is it a good idea to disinfect anything that comes in the house? Sure, of course it is, right? It can only help. Do you need to necessarily? You don't. But a lot of folks do, and correct. If you are going to do it, right, if you're going to disinfect anything you bring into your home, the most important thing for us is that you're doing it correctly. And, yeah, it sounds like absolutely. By leaving that wet, to dry on in a predetermined area for at least 10 minutes, depending on the chemical you're using. You're doing it right. That's the right way to do it.
Oh boy, good to know. And Carolina, I just had a visual when you were talking about your little station you have set up with masks and hand sanitizer. I could see Kelly coming out with a backpack with a sprayer and spraying people down when they come in the office. I can see that. I can see that. She's nothing if not efficient, right?
She is, yes.
When we think of this now period of time going forward, it's many things are going to be permanently installed. I'm sure, as we discussed, airlines and subways and other public conveyances, public spaces are going to be more or less disinfected on a regular basis going forward, regardless of the whether COVID-19 is conquered and we have a vaccine and all that. It's just a good thing to add to our bag of tricks. But because there will be future pandemics and there will be, the regular flu season every year comes and goes, and so it's a good thing to continue. But Josh, your business has been put at the center of the discussion for so many different aspects of our lives, from education, the need to educate our children, to the workplace, to church and religious institutions. How is that possible that you could have a business that is goes from normal to how can
warp
you give
speed.
Us some,
warp
some
speed.
Statistics? Warp speed. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So
last year you were just a normal business.
Yeah, no, last year we were just ho-humming along and cleaning buses for large companies like LAX and, you know, City of LA, Pepsi, Frito-Lay, and now we're trying to disinfect the entire state as best we can. So, yeah, it's been a heck of a ride for sure. And so for us, you know, we have, our core values really are that we're making this available. We're making this as widely available in the community as we can, right? Obviously, there are only so many machines. There's only so much disinfectant and only so much time. So for us, we started with education as our number one priority. So we are the disinfection service provider for DaVinci School System. So we finalized that agreement with them last week. So we're going to be providing services as part of the Wiseburn Unified School District to DaVinci, to their campuses all throughout Los Angeles. So, you know, really that's where we started as an education. We've been having some great discussion with Hawthorne Public Schools as well. So they're still going through their bid process. But that, you know, education and first responders were the first folks that we approached, right? Because when we talk about kids, you know, when we talk about these brave men and women who are, are risking their lives every day, for us, then that's the most important thing to us. So we've had a lot of really meaningful discussions with the city of Hermosa Beach, Hermosa Beach Police Department, El Segundo Police Department, quite a few. Redondo Beach has a vendor already that they're using. So, but, you know, we've had a lot of great discussions with local cities and towns. The good thing is a lot of our first responders, you know, like LA County Fire, for instance, we spoke with. LA County Fire already has a really rigorous disinfection protocol that predated COVID-19. Mm-hmm. So when we reached out to them and said, can we help? They said, thanks, but we do this. We always do this, right? This same thing with a lot of the local police departments in any clinical setting, any hospital or any ambulance, EMS provider, you know, be it local cities and towns or so forth. All of your first responders have been doing this, rest assured, before COVID, and will be doing it long after COVID. So we've supported them in some ways in their offices, precincts and things like that, but really, as far as their apparatus, this is something that's not new to them. So, in the private sector, yeah, it's a whole new ballgame. So we've been just trying to do our best to be able to educate. Yesterday, we were out at Manhattan Beach Studios working with their operations team on some new innovations and helping them select some different equipment. We've been having meaningful conversation. We're starting with Disney next month, July 27th. We're doing a shoot with them at LA Center Studios. So entertainment, the entertainment industry, the educational system, and really businesses, like we say, of any size, and even homeowners. We try to make the service available to as many folks as possible, and we've been really active in a lot of different verticals.
This is a topic for another show, but I just wanted to mention it. There's been a lot of back and forth over the years about disinfection, especially with children. You know, when you're a kid is when you get exposed to all of these germs and microbes and other stuff that basically give you immunity going forward. And I remember years ago when these disinfecting soaps came out, and everybody was using them, and there was a large quarter that were saying, you know, you don't need to do that. We need to be able to build immunity. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, because we have this block of time where all of a sudden every germ and microbe is being destroyed for a 4 or 5, 6 month period. And it's going to be interesting to see if down the road people's immunity systems are less, what's the word I'm looking for, robust than they used to. But as I said, that's a topic for another show. Yeah.
Interesting. And I do think that there is some aspect. I mean, there always, when this topic comes up in general, especially regarding children, I always think of a book by a doctor called Josh Axe, Dr. Josh Axe, who's been on, several talk shows and others. He has a book that he wrote several years ago called Eat Dirt.
Dirt.
In which
he talked about
eat dirt. And he was talking about how our internal biome, our internal gut, is full of bacteria that is healthy bacteria that we need and that we don't want to, artificially or mess around with our internal biome with all of these antibiotics that we're over prescribed, because it really messes with our health. And now we're disinfecting every living, every surface that we touch. It's just, it's very difficult.
Hey, listen, Joe, we only have about 12 minutes left of the show, so I just want to go in another direction real quick here. Josh,
sure.
I got to ask you something. Josh, how did you go from designing stores for IKEA to sales and customer service for a disinfection company? But before you answer that, I have to ask you, are you the person responsible for the maze layout in IKEA? Because if you are, I've got a bone to pick with you.
It was all going so well until now. I got guilty as charged there, Jackie. So with IKEA, my role specifically with designing and building stores for IKEA was in kitchen sales and on the sales side of things. The long natural way, as it's referred to internally at IKEA. I can say I was an accessory to that crime. I don't know that I was. It was all me, but I could tell you. If we had another hour, I could tell you all about that, but we don't, unfortunately. So. To your point. So I was in the construction industry and working with IKEA. I worked in several capacities, customer service, kitchens, and then worked in, with IKEA property. So that IKEA property is what brought me out here to California. Born and raised in Boston, Massachusetts originally. And I moved out here to be a regional manager for IKEA kitchen installation specifically. So the kitchens business is something, and as we mentioned at the top of the show, I also own a kitchens business here in town. But so that kitchens business is what brought me out here. And my involvement with Micron started when at the beginning of this pandemic, when obviously that business slowed down almost to a halt overnight. We still support IKEA and some of their kitchen products. The IKEA closed in response to COVID-19, closed all 52 of its stores in the United States effectively overnight. And another large client we support went out of business. So I was at a point in my career where I had a real good amount of bandwidth here this spring. And Adam and Jessica, who Jessica is one of our other founders and our CEO, we are a women-owned business. So although you'll hear me do a lot of talking, Jessica and Claire are two executives that own and operate the business. And they're fantastic ladies, super smart. So they brought me on board. Well, Claire's my wife, so she had no choice but to bring me on board. But Jessica and Adam brought me on board just from based on my knowledge of large commercial spaces and being in the customer's home quite a bit through our kitchens business. This is something that was really important to me. So they brought me on board to help help them in sales and business development standpoint and help them try to get the word out.
Okay. All right.
I actually have some information about that, Jackie. You know who first? And I love that phrase. What's that phrase again, Josh? The long way.
The long natural way.
The long natural way.
The long natural way. Well,
There's nothing natural about that. I'm sorry.
No. And it reminds me that the first person perhaps in history that conceived of that is a guy named Roland Hussey Macy. R.H. Macy and Company. One of his concepts for an American department store, and there were many, but when he came, 1858, founded the department store chain, Macy and Company, R.H. Macy and Company, his concept was, if you could find your way out, we've lost money.
Interesting.
Basically.
Yeah.
You go in the front, well, and you take a turn, and you say, where am I?
Yeah, the IKEA's they're not evil, awful people. The idea is that you can present the entire product range to a customer without them having to really think about it, right? They just kind of follow this natural path, and they get to see all that IKEA has to offer, and then they get to go home, or they get to go eat meatballs out of frustration. It depends.
Or they need to hire a U-Haul truck to get all their stuff back to the house.
Yeah. Plenty of those too.
We've all been.
What a fascinating discussion. I'm sorry.
No, I just said we've all been there.
Yeah, we have.
Well,
what a fascinating
I wanted to add that Josh is also the owner of the South Bay Kitchen Solutions. It's located in Manhattan Beach, and they're also a chamber member.
Yeah.
I am familiar. Mm-hmm. I'm familiar with the business, mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. No,
we had a ribbon cutting for them last, yeah.
Yeah. That was a year ago now, Carolina, right?
It was. It was a lot of fun. We brought over a pizza oven. A lot of people came to it. It was a lot of fun. I miss ribbon cutting. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a fun day. No, South Bay Kitchen Solutions. So the Micron office and the South Bay Kitchen Solutions office are in Suite 15 and 16, respectively, right on PCH. 2100 North Sepulveda Avenue, right past Rubio's if you're going north on PCH. Our office is located right here locally in the SBKS showroom. We got lucky as Micron is looking for office space. The Beach Cities Accounting, who's also our accounting firm, shout out to Kathy and Beach Cities Accounting, also chamber members. When they moved out of that suite, we were able to take that. So our offices are actually right next to each other, which works out well for me too.
Hey, Josh, let me ask you something. During the last 4 or 5 months, I know that construction was considered an essential business, so they didn't stop, current construction projects. But during this time, are people remodeling kitchens? Because it was interesting when we saw that this wasn't just going to be an overnight thing, it was going to last for a while. A lot of people took on projects. My husband and I certainly did. Like, okay, we're going to be stuck here for a while. What do we need to get done? You know, so I'm just curious, have people been starting projects during this time? Are people saying, hey, I need to get my kitchen remodeled. Let's do it now.
So I think people recognize that we have a window of time, hopefully. We know for a fact cold and flu season is coming. Now, to what extent COVID-19, there's a second wave or what have you, that remains to be seen, of course. But we're encouraging everybody right now to get their projects, as we call, shovel ready as possible, because right now we are out there in the community. We are planning and installing kitchens. We have a contactless remote kitchen planning process as well that we actually implemented prior to COVID just to be able to reach more folks and to be able to offer a lower cost alternative for people that were comfortable measuring their own space. That service now has become wildly popular.
Mm-hmm.
South Bay Kitchen Solutions, we actually doubled our sales in Q2 over the first quarter based on the enormous popularity of this contactless remote kitchen planning service. We've been incredibly busy. So as far as that goes, yeah, lots of folks are getting to a point now where they're getting ready to order, start to think about renovating that kitchen. The fall is always the natural kitchen selling season as people are preparing for the holidays and to have company over and so forth. So we're kind of heading into that time anyway, but absolutely with that contactless remote kitchen planning service has been a very popular choice for our customers.
Interesting. Interesting. I didn't know there was a season for kitchen remodel. There you go. Learn something new.
There you go.
All right.
Fascinating. Well, it's been amazing. I just the range of topics in this space and in the business that you're in, Josh, is really breathtaking, because it really involves education and business and religion, and I don't know if there's any aspect of life that hasn't been touched.
Yeah, no, it really does cross all boundaries, and it's something that's important to everyone. So, a lot of things we've talked about today. Of course, Micron Disinfection is the name of our company, and microndisinfection.com is our website. But on the FAQ page, a lot of the things we've talked about today, and even other things too, can be found there. Answers to a lot of FAQs. Information about dwell time for household disinfectants, things of that nature can be there. And the other thing that is important that we just let folks know, you know, right, of course, whether it's us or another service provider, just know your chemicals, read labels, ask questions about things like toxicity levels. And, you know, if you're hiring a disinfection service provider, which, you know, in this day and age, we absolutely recommend you do, make sure you're vetting those folks and asking questions, asking to see what they call SDS, which is a safety data sheet of the chemical that are being used in your space, because it is important to know that. You know, not all disinfectants are created equal, and again, the disinfectant that we use is the gold standard in the industry, and is a hospital grade product that has been on the market for quite a long time. So, just make sure you're asking those good questions.
Right.
Yes, I learned that.
Well,
I learned that the hard way. I learned the hard way not to mix bleach and ammonia. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Bad. Hey, listen, Joe, before we wrap it up, I just want to mention one thing. Very excited about this. The Torrance Antique Street Fair is back for the first time in almost 5 months now. All right. They're reopening on Sunday, June 28th, this Sunday, June 28th from 8 to 3 a.m. It's in downtown Torrance on Sartori. So, I'm just excited. You know, that each week I'm getting notifications from different businesses, you know, things like the farmers markets and the antique street fair and stuff, that that things are starting to, I'm not going to say normal, but things are starting to reopen, mm-hmm. and we can get back to doing some of the things we love to do. So Torrance Antique Street Market reopening this Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. And Josh, we just want to know, give us all the contact information for Micron Disinfection.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can find us on the web at microndisinfection.com, all one word. Our telephone number is 833-4-MICRON. And for those folks that don't want to spell it out on your phone, it's 833-464-2766. Again, we mentioned our office is over just over on Manhattan Beach, in Manhattan Beach on North Sepulveda Boulevard, just past the Target in Rubio's, and we can be found on Facebook at Micron Disinfection, LinkedIn, and on Instagram at Micron Disinfection. So definitely check us out, and we will. One other exciting announcement: we are in the next 30 days going to be offering an electrostatic sprayer rental service for the community. So for small business owners who it's cost prohibitive to have us come in and do it, that want to rent the equipment and do it themselves, that is an option that we're going to hope to have ready by August 1st. So if you'll need to rent an electrostatic sprayer, we'll be able to help you there too.
Fantastic.
Well, that's
fantastic.
Good to know. That's good to know.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Everyone needs one.
All right,
one.
Take it home, Joe.
Jackie, it's wonderful. What a great show, Carolina Dorado. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. I'm so happy to make my radio show debut with you guys.
Excellent. Fantastic. And, of course, Josh Wilson, Micron Disinfection. What an amazing display of great business acumen and execution. Thank you, Josh, for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for having me, guys.
Thank you. And, of course, thank you, Jackie.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
Have a great weekend, everyone. We'll see you next week. And, disinfect regularly. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.